We have two scripture readings this morning. The first is from Luke chapter 17, verse 20 through 21. Once Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, and he answered, "The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is,' for in fact, the kingdom of God is within you." The second reading is from the third chapter of Thomas. Jesus said, "If your leaders say to you, 'Look, the Father's kingdom is in the sky,' then the birds of the sky will precede you. If they say to you, 'It is in the sea,' then the fish will precede you. Rather, the Father's kingdom is within you and it is outside you. When you know yourselves, then you will be known and you will understand that you are children of the living Father. But if you do not know yourselves, then you live in poverty and you are the poverty." Amen.
If she had never dreamed of going over the rainbow, we never would have heard of Oz. Perhaps we too would have remained in dull sepia or the boring gray of black and white were it not for her wish upon a star. She led us on this journey through the storm, over the rainbow, down the yellow brick road, into the haunted forest, through poisonous poppy fields, to the Emerald City, and even to the castle of the Wicked Witch of the West herself, before returning once again to that sparkling green city, and then finally back to the very place where it all began, her aunt and uncle's farm in Kansas. She met all sorts of people and animals and, let's just call them friends, along the way. They helped her and us understand our journey a little better as they sought to sojourn theirs. If it weren't for that girl in gingham, we never would have gone beyond the brick road, over the rainbow, and into the heart of Oz. But go we did. She was the reason that we met the Scarecrow and learned about his insecurities, the challenges that he had living without a brain. We resonated with his longing, for even though we have brains, so we think, we're all in search of wisdom. And it was because of her that we stumbled upon the rusted old tin man who longed to have a heart. We who wrestle daily, it seems, with the breaking of our hearts might have wondered along with that wizard why we even have them at all. They're not practical unless they can be made to be unbreakable. But when parting with Dorothy, the Tin Man revealed the truth to us that even as our hearts break, we know we have them. And for that, we are grateful. We never would have walked through a haunted forest where there were wild beasts and who knows what else out there to terrorize us, lions and tigers and bears, oh my. I said, lions and tigers and bears, oh my. They themselves, that trio, were in need of some courage. Little did they know that they would meet a lion face to face. Only the king of the jungle, he was not. More like the coward of the forest. But he taught us not to ignore our fear, but not to let it overpower us. And it was because of her that if we ever had to face our own preconceived notions about good and evil, we had to face our own discomfort with the other side and our own desire to plug our ears, shut our eyes, and hear only our story. We would never have known that there was another side to the wicked had we not first met Dorothy. And then we'd never know the deep depth of friendship and the challenge of happily ever after from Glinda. We'd never have met the wizard, never been forced to look beyond the curtain or even dare to come out behind our own. It's because of her that we walked down that road in the first place. And now we find ourselves in her shoes, or rather, slippers, ruby slippers. It's funny, when we first meet her, the one thing Dorothy wants more than anything else is to get as far away from possible as possible from her boring life in Kansas. Sounds a little familiar. Only the moment she does, she realizes she'd like nothing more than to return. At first glance, this is a moral about the grass. You know, the grass that's greener on the other side. Moral, of course, is that it's actually green where you are, not just where you wish you were. But of course, we always think the grass is greener on the other side. So maybe it is a story about appreciating what we have, when and where we have it, not wishing our lives away. But Dorothy wasn't the first person to teach us a lesson about appreciating the gifts that have been given to us. I think her story actually reveals a little more. More than a watch what you wish for, or the grass is greener, even if it's in sepia, how do we say that? I think Dorothy's story, which is ultimately reflected in all of the character's story, is our story. Our journey, our relationship with God, and our desire to find the kingdom, to find home. Dorothy Gale from Kansas, not such a remarkable girl. She wasn't all that different from everybody else, but she was orphaned for a reason that we don't know, yet living fairly comfortable with her Auntie Em and her Uncle Henry on their farm with the love of her life, Toto. It was National Dog Day yesterday, so we want to lift up Toto in our thoughts and prayers today. Dorothy described herself as small and meek, but I don't know that she was ever that exactly. She was brave enough to run away from home. She was feisty enough to stand up to mean old Miss Gulch and tenacious enough to follow that yellow brick road despite all the trouble it brought her when she landed in Oz. Granted, it was more of an accident than an assassination that killed the Wicked Witch of the West, but she was throwing that bucket of water because she wanted to save her dear friend, the Scarecrow, who happened to be on fire. The girl had guts. She was pretty, yeah, and she was rather soft-spoken with that sing-song voice. But I don't think I'd call her small and meek. But I do think that Dorothy, like everyone else we've met along our way, underwent a transformation, seeking that one thing that each of them sought the most from the great and powerful Wizard of Oz. She was off to see the wizard because, of course, she longed to go home. She landed herself in the colorful world of Oz, and even though it was a magical place filled with beauty and friendship and candy, I personally think she should have hung out with the Lollipop Guild a little bit longer, because there was a lot to be said for Munchkinland. But it didn't take long before she realized that she missed home. She missed the comforts of the familiar, the way her uncle returned home for supper, smelling of the earth. She missed her Auntie Em, her hands weathered and worn, cupping her face, questioning, "Oh, child, where have you been?" She missed the wind outside and the baying of the animals, even their sweet, pungent smell that wafted into the farmhouse at dusk. But most of all, she missed the way she felt, safe, loved. She wasn't always understood, but she was always welcomed home. "There's no place like home," she would soon whisper and click. I get that. There's a part of me that aches for my childhood home. Many of you know that it's not much more than a mile or two from here. But most of the time, I don't dare go near it because, to tell you the truth, when I do, I just break open and start gushing tears. I want to go back. I see it, and I see the shadows of my past in the front yard playing catch or croquet on the grass. I see Easter eggs and the Christmas tree in the window. I see my fort in the side yard, and I know there's a dog lovers club flag flying in the back. I see my dad, aka the shark, swimming in the pool, and me dancing to Madonna, of all things, jumping with a splash right into the middle of the pool that he said he built for me. And then there's the hammock where I read Ramona the Brave, and the orange trees we'd climb and sit under. Inside there were bowls of Cheerios and a couch with a corner seat for snuggling. Our very first computer, complete with an AOL account a few years later, a hallway made for running, and my parents' room where I'd creep in night after night, and the sleeping bag, they got smart, that they'd lay out to wait for me. She's right. There's no place like home. I love that house on Mackenzie Place. There's probably no way I could afford to buy it these days. But like Dorothy, I still have dreams of returning. There's no place like home. Now, Dorothy didn't really love Kansas. She makes that perfectly clear when we first meet her. But she sure loved her family. Even the farmhands, each with their own quirky qualities, as it turns out, they had certain similarities to the friends she met in Oz. But Dorothy wanted nothing more than to return home. And so when the wizard failed her, she thought she would be stuck in Oz forever. It wasn't such a terrible prospect now that she was the hero. There was no threat to harm her, nothing wicked left in the land. But nevertheless, she would give up her celebrity status and all the perks that came with it, that glittering city, the bright colors of Oz, all to return home to the safety and comfort that awaited her there. When she was at the brink of despair, after having journeyed long and far, battling the demons within and the witches without, and even when she came back victorious, she still lost. Her last hope floated into the clouds as the wizard's balloon rose in flight. Tears filled her eyes, and she could barely focus in on the luminescent bubble that drifted her way. In it, Glinda the Good and her last shot at getting home. "Oh, will you help me? Can you help me?" a crestfallen Dorothy asks. "You don't need to be helped any longer. You've always had the power to go back to Kansas." "I have?" Now bewildered, she asks in disbelief. "Then why didn't you tell her before?" The Scarecrow was indignant. He's such a good friend. "Because she wouldn't have believed me. She had to learn it for herself." "What have you learned, Dorothy?" asked the Tin Man. "Well, I think that it wasn't enough just to want to see Uncle Henry and Annie M. And if I ever go looking for my heart's desire again, I won't look any further than my own backyard. Because if it isn't there, I never really lost it to begin with. Is that right?" "That's all it is," confirms Glinda. "But that's so easy. I should have thought of it for you," offers the Scarecrow. "I should have felt it in my heart," chimes in the Tin Man. "No, she had to find it out for herself. Now those magic slippers will take you home in 2 seconds. And so, she closed her eyes and clicked her heels and said those 5 words. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. And before she'd even finished the third time, she opened her eyes and she was home. She always had what she needed. You've always had the power, Glinda exclaimed. It was always there. Was it in those ruby slippers? Or was it somewhere deeper? Each of the sojourners found what they were looking for. Without getting it the way they expected, the brain didn't come from a transplant, and neither did the heart. The lion's nerve, well, he just needed to summon it from within. It wasn't in a gift from the wizard, or even the slippers on her feet. The power was within. If they say to you, look, the kingdom of God is in the sky, the birds will precede you. If they say to you, it is in the sea, the fish will precede you. Look, here it is. Look, there it is. It's not in the sky or the sea. Or maybe it is, but if so, the birds or the fish are going to discover it first. No need to go looking any further than your own backyard, as Dorothy says. Because as Jesus says, the kingdom of God is within. And that's our home. It's not a farm in Kansas or a ranch-style house in Costa Mesa. It's not in the fantasy land of Oz or beyond the rainbows to be wished for upon stars. It's closer than that rainbow and even more vast than all the stars. As valuable as it is, no amount of money can buy it. Turns out, we have always had the power to access it. We had it all along. Sure, we may have really needed the journey to seek out the wisdom, to tap our hearts, because love is the key in. We need courage. Bravery, strength to face our own demons and whatever wicked things might come our way. Yes, we need the journey. And we need to share that journey with others. We can't do it all alone. But we don't need to search far and wide. We only need to search deep, to journey inside. For there lies the kingdom of God. Here. Here, you're already home. Amen.